It is a heartbreaking experience to love someone dearly and not be loved by that person. Yet, unrequited love is a tragedy and sadness that runs throughout the history of mankind. It's often mentioned in songs and plays and stories and poems and other means of expression. But the cases of unrequited love are real, and they are frequent. We cite a few examples. We're told that after Napoleon reached the threshold of glory and power, that he forsook the woman who had helped him, entered into a marriage that he thought was politically expedient for his continued expansion of growth and power, and abandoned his former love. A man named Tom Mooney, who was sent to prison in 1916 after being convicted of dynamiting incident, was eventually released because of the efforts of his wife that spanned over 30 years of persistence and persuasion, seeing all the influential people she could, working and spending all that she could get to bring about his release. Yet, within a year after he went free, he left her and married another woman. There is the story of the widowed mother who sent her son through college by sacrificing, scrubbing floors, taking in washing, working long and late hours to finance his education. At his graduation, the son was ashamed of her shabby dress, which did not measure up to that which was worn by the parents of his classmates. And after receiving his diploma, he did not seek her out, but he slipped away with the others for a celebration, leaving her to go back home, alone, and without even a word of gratitude. Possibly similar incidents have occurred over and over in human relationships. Unrequited love is one of the sorriest chapters of human conduct, and is one of life's greatest disappointments. Possibly each reader has suffered something like this from those whom you respected and loved and wanted to help and had helped, but were treated with contempt thereafter. This theme is found repeatedly in the Word of God. One of the more impressive stories of this nature is found in the book of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of God, a writer of the book by that name, which is listed among what are called the minor prophets. Now, he was not a minor prophet because his message was less important, however. Hosea lived around 750 years before Christ. His life unfolds as a story that has the power to grip the heart of any person who has the capacity of compassion and sympathy and sensitivity. Hosea married a woman named Gomer. Gomer became unfaithful to her righteous husband. Going into a life of adultery, she left her husband and three children and went after her illicit relationships. She became so degraded that eventually no one wanted her and none had any respect for her. And after a time, she was placed on the slave market to be sold as a slave. The moving part of the record is that her husband was the one who bought her. Hosea 3, verses 2 and 3, "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half a homer of barley, and I said unto her, Thou shalt abide with me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, thou shalt not be for another man, so I will also be for thee." Now the reason this story of Hosea is so outstanding is because he was not just telling his own story, how his love for Gomer was not returned. He was telling God's story, and the relationship between God and Israel. Israel had behaved much like Gomer. God uses this account to say, "This is the way my people have treated me." Now, the first of the 3 14 chapters of Hosea tells the story of Hosea's life, and the last 11 chapters presents the parallel of that life story in the God-Israel relationship. Israel had been unfaithful to God, just as Gomer had been unfaithful to Hosea. Here is how God describes Israel. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and committing adultery they break out, and blood toucheth blood." He goes on to say, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And once again he said, For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. And from the 7th chapter, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. Ephraim is also like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Yes, just as Gomer had gone from one to another, rather than the one who loved her, so Israel had turned to the neighboring nations rather than to God. And verse 14 of chapter 7 says, And they have not cried unto me with their heart. But, as in the case with Hosea and Gomer, God still loved Israel, even though Israel was not worthy of that love. In the 11th chapter, When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam, and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, and with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they call them to the Most High. None at all would exalt him. When Gomer reached such a degraded state in her life, there was none who provided for her. But Hosea made provision for her, even when she was not aware of it. So it had been between God and Israel. But the sad part of all of this is the fact that God's love went unreturned. Are we like Gomer? Are we like Israel? Here is the real significance of this historical account of human tragedy and spiritual application. It seems that even in our age, that there is a great amount of unrequited love toward God. It is not only a matter between married partners of which we speak, although that is the case so often in our divorce-ridden society, but it is the lack of love for God from a nation and individuals who have been so bountifully blessed by the God of heaven. Far too often the history of God's dealings with mankind has been a one-way street. God pours out his love on mankind, but mankind has not returned that love. In the Garden of Eden, this was the same story. Did not Adam and Eve fail to respond properly to the many manifestations of God's love? And down through the accounts of the Old Testament, the same story is repeated, as the Bible student well knows. Not only was it the case with Israel, but with many individuals as well. And when we come to the New Testament, do we not find more of the same thing? Do we not see the brutal rejection of God's Son? Do not people rise in anger against those who preach them the message of salvation that people needed to hear? And friend, that story continues to our day. It is often written by people such as we are, who will not live as God requires, but are determined and content to do their own thing and follow their own will. Even among some who profess to be followers of Christ, we see that when decisions have to be made between this world and the way of the Lord, that this world is often loved far more than God. How often have each of us been guilty of receiving the benefits and the mercy and the love poured upon us from the Almighty, but have withheld our devotion and service unto Him? Let each one examine his own life. The appeal of this lesson for each of us is that we make our religion deeper, more sincere, more practical, more meaningful. Our relationship to God is something that should concern us, not just during periods of formal worship when we assemble with the saints, but in the day-to-day manner of life. It is not uncommon for many to not even give the Lord's service or worship more than once a week, and not even that with regularity. Vacant chairs during Bible study, Sunday evening worship, midweek services, gospel meetings, other times, that indicates that we are willing for God to love us, but He should not expect very much from us to show love in return. We wonder sometimes how we manage to sing, "I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given to me?" and then continue in the same negligent, half-hearted way that we sometimes go about being a Christian in word and in deed. The record of Luke chapter 15 fits this theme perfectly and completely. The son left home in his determined and self-willed fashion. We call him the prodigal, because he wasted his substance in riotous living. While we see the shame of the son, let us not fail to see the love of the generous and forgiving Father. And the reason this account has a happy ending is because of the Father, not just because the son came to himself. Now, thankfully, the son returned home. But what did he find upon reaching home? There was his Father, looking, waiting, longing, loving, rejoicing that his son, once lost, was home again. Has not God shown His love toward us sufficiently? Did He not send Jesus Christ to provide for our salvation, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8 and 9? Did not Christ die the cruel death of Calvary for each one of us, 1 John 2 and verse 2? What more could be done to manifest love toward us than what God has already done? But have we returned to that love? Can we live at peace with ourselves, knowing that we are withholding from God what He deserves? Should it not be my prayer and your prayer that since God first loved us, we should love Him, 1 John 4, verse 10 and 19? Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love Him because He first loved us. And the way we return God's love is by obedience to His will. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.